in most Catholic settings, parishes, most of the people who come to Mass are women. And most women are mothers, and most mothers have children who are away from the church or seem to be going in a wrong path. So today's saint is easy for most people to identify with. Today is the feast of Saint Monica. All the saints are a great treasure for us, a great inspiration, examples of holiness, of heroic determination to be faithful to God. But some saints are in circumstances that are so different from ours, and so sometimes so strange. So some saints are, whatever, imprisoned or martyred, or they're kings, or they're, you know, in circumstances of great hardship that we don't face. But Monica, well, we can see she's a mother, she's a wife and a mother. She has a difficult marriage, she has a difficult mother-in-law, and she has at least one son who's gone astray, St. Augustine. We call him St. Augustine, but at the time of Monica's prayer for him, he was no saint. So that's part of why Monica is a very popular saint, a great encouragement to mothers and wives. To understand Monica, I'd like to call to mind an expression from yesterday's formation teaching. We were looking at Pope Francis's instruction on the Lord's Prayer. He was teaching about the expression in the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be thy name." And one of the things he said, because talking about the holiness of God, he said that God's holiness is an expanding force. Remember that part? God's holiness is an expanding force. And as he was explaining that, he said, look what happened when Jesus started his public ministry. Among the first to recognize something was happening were the evil spirits. Jesus came along and the evil spirits reacted badly. What are you doing here? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So the Pope was saying that the evil spirits recognized the force of holiness coming and overturning the evil one's domain, taking over. So holiness has this power to it. It's an expanding force. Okay, so that was the teaching. And the Pope also used that image of a stone thrown into a pool of water. You throw in the stone and the waves ripple out in expanding concentric circles. So that's holiness. Maybe a stone is not that great an example because those little ripples don't make any difference. I remember seeing a video of some tourists who were up north somewhere, Alaska maybe, or I don't know where, Norway. And they were in a boat and they were viewing a beautiful glacier. And then as the boat is not too far from the glacier, a big chunk of ice fell off the glacier into the water. And a huge wave came rushing toward the boat. And of course the tourists panicked and they tried to back up. Anyway, I think that's more another image that we can use to describe the holiness of God. It's not just a little ripple. It's big waves, big enough to overturn the kingdom of evil, to make evil spirits cower in fear. What are you doing? Coming to destroy us? Okay, so that's God's holiness, and the whole point of that comment of the Pope was, when we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," What we're doing is, we're not making God holy, but we're opening ourselves to that expanding force. When we pray, we get hit with the wave, and then we become participants in that wave of holiness, that expanding force in the world. So all of us, in to some degree or another, become part of holiness and its impact on the world. Okay, that's the image from yesterday. Now let's apply this to Saint Monica. Saint Monica married young. Her husband's a pagan. She's a Christian. But her Christianity was still imperfect. You could say she had her own growth she had to pass through. So Augustine identifies some of her weaknesses. He even says, now Augustine, remember, Augustine was a brilliant young man, a very gifted child. And so his parents saw this kid should get a good education. And that's why they sent him off to Carthage. This is North Africa. They were living in North Africa, Roman occupied North Africa. But Carthage was the center of learning, at least as close as they could get to. So they sent him off to Carthage, and Augustine in his confession says, well, that might have been a great idea for education, but it was a terrible idea for Christian formation, because it threw him into the world, and he got swallowed up by all sorts of worldly influence. And so he blames Monica for that. He said, well, she chose his education before his sanctification. Well, anyway, Monica, of course, never gave up on the sanctification of her children, and she prayed for Augustine. Augustine went in the wrong direction for a long time. He was immersed in a worldly life, a sensual life. His intellectual pride was just impossible to overcome. He had a live-in partner. She had a son. He was an ambitious career guy. During all this, Monica's praying for him. And what we know of Monica is all through Augustine. I mean, Augustine is the one who tells the story. So maybe his version of Monica is a little bit narrow, because how he describes her is she's the intercessor for his conversion. But that's not the only thing she did. She was a holy woman. She was an expanding force. From her life came these ripples of grace into the world. She wanted the ripples to overturn Augustine, but that's not up to her control. It's not up to us to decide where the waves go. Once we become part of the system of God or the expanding force of God, it's up to God. And the effect of the waves of grace are even though we're part of it, we're not in control of it. So Monica was a very holy woman, and the ripples coming from her holy life influenced lots of people. In fact, they're still influencing us right now. You see, Saint Monica and the waves or the expanding force of her holiness is still inspiring mothers, wives and mothers, to persevere in faith and prayer to this day. Monica, if you remember, followed Augustine across the Mediterranean over to Italy. Augustine was trying to get away from her and also trying to build up his career. So you don't hang around North Africa. If you want to be rich and famous, you go to Rome. Well, he went to Rome, he went to Milan. Well, and Monica followed him all around, drove him nuts. And Monica is the one who discovered the greatness of Saint Ambrose before Augustine did. Ambrose, of course, he was another towering figure, a genius, but also a Christian, a bishop, a holy man. It was Ambrose, when Augustine finally came into the circle of Ambrose's influence, he found someone that he couldn't he couldn't overcome. He couldn't talk his way out of Ambrose's argumentation. He was struck by it. But it was Monica discovered Ambrose's greatness long before Augustine did. Okay, so I'm just giving that understanding of Monica, because we always give Monica credit for the conversion of Augustine, but it's not direct credit. She didn't convert Augustine. She didn't have that kind of control. We don't have control over what other people do or how they respond to God. What we can do is submit ourselves to this expanding force of holiness. Either we're blocking that force, that the way the evil spirits do, they try, you know, become obstacles to the ripples of grace, or we participate. So Monica's example is of participation. And it was God who used Monica as his instrument for the conversion of Augustine and many others, including Monica's husband and Monica's mother-in-law. Now let's take a look at the readings. These readings are not chosen for the Feast of St. Monica, but we could see some connections. The first reading is all about the importance of chastity, of refraining from immorality. When Monica read these words, you can imagine how her concern for Augustine was all the greater, because Augustine did not follow this passage in his young life. He was not a chaste man. And so he could not become holy unless he accepted that the will of God is the correct way and the will of the flesh is not. So St. Paul says here, this is the will of God, your holiness. God wants us to be holy. It's this expanding force, these ripples, these waves. This, and the reason why God wants our holiness is because he wants his holiness to influence every part of creation. This is the will of God, your holiness, that you refrain from immorality. Okay. So that's Paul talking about an aspect of holiness, which is very sadly neglected nowadays. People think that chastity or refraining from immorality, talk about sexual immorality, people think of that as somehow bad for us or somehow restrictive or prudish. No, this is simply to participate in the expanding force of God's holiness. Well, Monica prayed for the chastity of her son. In the gospel, we hear about the five wise and five foolish virgins awaiting the bridegroom. The lamps and the oil that the wise virgins have are a representation of their participation in this expanding force. Light is like this too. Grace is like this. Holiness is like this. It tends to radiate. So if you have a lamp, and if you have oil, the light of the lamp will naturally radiate. But if we don't have oil, if we don't cooperate with the light, if we don't nourish it, well, then the light goes out and it stops radiating. This is our responsibility. We can't control light. That's up to God. But we can either cooperate with that light, that's the providing of oil, or not. So we either become participants in this radiation, this expanding force, or we don't. We're either wise or we're foolish. Monica was wise. We are certainly familiar with foolishness, because all we have to do is look at ourselves and see how quickly we run out of patience, how easily we give up on prayer, how judgmental we are of people who we think are off course, how selfish we are, how self-serving we are. Where's all the oil? Well, we turn to the Lord when we come to Mass. When we reflect on the lives of the saints, we say, okay, Lord, we don't have any oil. Please help us. Please help us. Remember, Pope Francis said yesterday, the very first step of prayer is this submitting ourselves to God. It's not taking charge. It's deliberately opening ourselves to God, to the care, to the providence of our Father. Monica's our example for today. Augustine's our example for tomorrow. But it's always God's holiness that it's at the center of this. It's this radiating force, this power for transformation comes from God, and we are being invited to cooperate with it, to go with it, not to interfere, but to become participants in the radiance, the light of holiness in the world.